Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my CBC Corpus family, and welcome to anyone who might be listening or watching for the first time. We're glad you've joined us. Don't forget to take advantage of our worship guide. You can follow along. I've placed the scripture references for you there, and you can find that at cbccorpuschristi.com, just right up above the video. There's a PDF file, and you can follow along. Anyway, we're excited, as Pastor Eddie alluded to earlier in the service, to regather, come back together again, consistently from Sunday to Sunday, beginning June the 6th at Emerald Beach Hotel on Shoreline. Emerald Beach Hotel on Shoreline in Corpus. So if you know anyone or have any friends or family, prepare them ahead of time and invite them to come and be a part of this exciting launch for our church as we regather together again. Well, we've been looking at the book of Genesis. Wow, what a powerful scriptural narrative that we've seen in these particular parts of the Bible early on. And we happen to be at Genesis chapter 16. So I'm going to invite you to take a copy of God's Word if you have one. Also, don't forget that I highly recommend that you have a journal, a notepad, and maybe a good study Bible. But open it up to Genesis chapter 16 or navigate on your device to Genesis chapter 16 and meet me there. Well, I'm just excited to really dive into this particular story. I think we're going to see some riveting principles that leap off the page and help us see why we need a Savior, why God is such a God of mercy and grace. So without further ado, let's jump into the text. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16. The word of the Lord reads, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me.' But Abram said to Sarai, 'Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please.' Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?' And she said, 'I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai.' The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her.' The angel of the Lord also said to her, 'I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen.' And so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are a God of seeing.' For she said, 'Truly, here I have seen him who looks after me.' Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram." Blessed be the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. Let us pray. Majestic Father, God of all creation, God of all mercy and grace, we once again are brought humbly under the weight of your word. May your word do its work in us, that work that you began in us, your chosen people. And Father, may we be sanctified through and through, and may we be convicted, corrected, cared for, loved, and prodded toward the gospel reality that we are being changed and transformed, Father, for the good of the church and for the salvation of our sins, from our sins. We pray, Father, that we would see what you are teaching us in this text. Thank you for the faithful that have gone before us, and help us to live a life of faith. Protect us from making decisions, Father, that are horrible and destructive, not only to us, but to others. We pray in thy holy name. Amen. Wow. As we read that chapter, several things come up. Now, you've seen, as we've looked at the previous chapters, we've seen Abram's sin. We've seen Abram's repentance. We've seen Abram's faith growing. We've seen much in the way of a push and pull, a reality of the depravity of the human heart and the sin that so easily entangles us. And it is no different here. But today, we see something interesting. It's about Sarai, Abram's wife. And so today, I want to turn your attention to the title that I've given this message, is Sarai's Solution, which is quite damaging. But Sarai's Solution, God's Mercy. Sarai's Solution, God's Mercy. And what we see in the opening parts of this particular text is how Abram's wife was frustrated, impatient, tired of waiting. Getting to the point where she believes that nothing is going to take place. She's not going to have a son. She's not going to have an heir. Her and Abram are not going to be able to have an heir to pass everything down to. It was very important, especially in that time, in that culture. There's a lot that plays into that. But Sarai did something that is probably familiar to all of us. She, in her impatience, gave in to temptation and sinned against God by taking spiritual matters into her own hands. And this is where the whole trouble began, as we see in this particular chapter. I want to give you a couple of things, three points that we will be making today, and I'll repeat them later. But in case you're taking notes, and I want you to jot these down, and I'll try to say it slow and then say them again later so that you can understand what I'm trying to do as I preach this particular sermon. The first thing we're going to see is giving in to the temptation to take spiritual matters into your own hands is a sin against God. Let me say that again. Giving in to the temptation to take spiritual matters into your own hands is a sin against God. This is what Sarai did at this time. She's not Sarah yet. That's going to happen here pretty quick. But Sarai is impatient. I believe Abram's impatient. I believe they're all wondering, is this really true? And sometimes we just don't have the kind of fortitude by faith to trust God 100%. And that is a problem for us and can be a problem for us believers. The second thing we're going to be dealing with is this. Number two, giving in to the temptation to listen to the wrong voice leads you away from God. Now, let me say that one again. Giving in to the temptation to listen to the wrong voice leads you away from God. And this is exactly what happens. This decision of Abram to listen, in this case, wrongfully to his wife, really led them away from God. And so there needed to be a returning, a repenting. And lastly, number three, the third point we will be covering in today's sermon is this. Repenting and returning to the place where you are called, restores a right relationship with God. Amen. Repenting and returning to the place where you are called restores a right relationship with God. Man, I'm telling you, this has been riveting to study and to prepare for, to consider the implications of what we are seeing and learning from this particular text and this particular narrative. Let me take you back to the text. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. Notice this, that coming up here, the Israelites are going to be, the Hebrews are going to be enslaved by Egypt. Just don't miss that. Right now, they have a slave, a servant that is Egyptian, that more than likely was brought back when Abram was rescued and was able to leave Egypt and go back to where God had called him. And so this is where Hagar came from. And Hagar, the name Hagar means flight or emigrant. And the transient nature of her life is why we have the name Hagar. It's a little bit of a mystery. We don't know a whole lot, but that we do know. And it's interesting that in this particular chapter, we see God's mercy not only to Abram and as a man of faith, given faith by God, but we also see God's common grace over Hagar and the baby to come, Ishmael. So don't miss that. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, and Sarai said to Abram, so Sarai's coming to her husband with a solution to this problem of no baby, no heir, no son. Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. So outside of the fact that God had already promised to give Abram a son. Now, they may have tried to think, well, maybe he's going to do it this way. There could be some of that here. But look at the words that the scriptures give us in regards to Sarah's response or communication or approach to her husband in this regard. She says, the Lord has prevented her. So this is what Sarah is saying. The Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. Wow, this is where things begin to shift. Obviously, this has been stewing in Sarai for some time. To come to this point, to come up with this kind of solution. This is her solution. This is Sarai's solution. Go into my servant. Hagar is her servant. It may be, look how she's, it just might be that God wants to fulfill this promise of giving us a son through my servant Hagar. It's amazing how one would even come up with that notion, but we have to understand the powerful nature of our sin and what it can do to our minds and our hearts and our thinking and our conscience. And so don't miss the riveting account right here that sets the events that are happening all in this particular chapter, that she is saying right there, go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. Now, really? I thought it was going to be by God. I thought God was going to do this. Very, very interesting and very important to take note. This will be familiar to us. And so, here we see another dreadful decision. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And in this instance, this is not a good thing. Because Abram had heard the voice of God. Abram had built altars to the Lord, had worshiped the Lord. And it thanked God for rescuing him and caring for him in spite of Abram's rash decision at time to go down into Egypt. And now his faith is growing, but here in this instance, he's proven to be a man who can fall and falter like all of us, even in our walk with God. And at times we find ourselves listening to the wrong voice. Now, this is not an occasion for us to say, well, does that mean that we as husbands don't listen to our wives? Absolutely, that's not the context. That's not the proper way to understand what's going on here. That's not even the point. It is right for us to listen to our wives, to hear them, to dialogue with them. But man of God, you are the head, you are the leader, you are the one responsible. When you know that something isn't right, you must do what God has called you to do, in spite of whatever anyone else says, including your wife. It's an issue of God's call. It's an issue of listening to others as opposed to listening to the voice of God, what we already know God has said. And so it's interesting that here you see Sarai coming up with the solution. Abram is brought in, and he listens to the voice of Sarai. So, verse 3, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant. Notice Hagar is like, I'm just doing what I'm told. In other words, she has no decision in the matter, does she? And gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. So now, because of this solution that Sarah comes up with, Hagar would become like a concubine, another wife, so to speak. And that wasn't uncommon. There were certain laws of that day that had made that possibility a reality. But even so, that it was never God's plan. It's something God does not sanction in any way, even though that was a part of the process in that time. And so we can see that this is really changing the dynamic of what is going to happen, and something really, really serious is happening here, and we need to understand it. One can only imagine what that conversation, what this interaction was like, and then to actually follow through with such a sinister request. Why didn't it seem like that to them initially? Because it seemed as if it was a solution to a really deep, deep problem, right? There's no son, there's no heir, we're getting older, we're impatient. It's serious to them, to the point where Sarah comes up with this solution and says, well, I got it. We can help God. And Abram, just totally, totally missing it, neglecting his responsibility as a head of household, who should have, on the surface, quickly rejected and said, absolutely not, wife. No way. But we know that we've done that. We've been there. We have fallen and made those kinds of mistakes, have sinned in that way, it's better stated. Something that I came across from Pastor Jordan Neil Rogers, he made this comment, and I want to share it with you. He said, when you want something so bad that you'll go around God to get it, you'll get something, but it won't be what you're after. Sometimes I think that's exactly how we are, like Sarai in this moment, and like Abram, passive, and not taking the lead and leading with faith and with grace, and doing what is right unto the Lord. We fall into doing what we think, what is right in our own mind, right in our own eyes. And when we sin in this way, we just never realize, they never realize the long-term consequences of such action. And this is why we must understand why our first point is so, so critical. Giving in to the temptation to take spiritual matters into your own hands is a sin against God. This is reminiscent to Adam and Eve. We've seen this before. Don't miss it. This is a narrative we'll see in the Bible through and through. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, go there with me if you can find it. It's on your worship guide, Genesis 3:17. And to Adam, he said, God is now, remember he had pronounced judgment. He said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Because you listened to the voice of your wife, you didn't listen to what I said. You didn't listen to what I said, and you didn't do what I said. I've been there. Have you? And have suffered the unbelievable consequences. We see in Genesis chapter 15, let me just remind you of that passage in Genesis 15 verse 2. It says, but Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Apparently, in the back of his mind and Sarai's mind, this is still a possibility, even though God promised. This is also reminiscent of what it would cause, just a little glimpse of the future in Genesis chapter 21, verse 9. It says, but Sarah, now she's Sarah, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, that's Ishmael, whom she had borne to Abram, laughing. And this would cause great, great problems and cause them to be ousted. And it was a rift that would remain not only for the remainder of their lives, but even remains to this day. It is quite remarkable and incredible. Now, we also see that Paul alludes to this, believe it or not. He understands what's going on here because he gives us a little bit of this account in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 22. And it says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. So there you have a slave and a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. That is the issue. According to the flesh. Everything that was happening here in the narrative in chapter 16 with Sarai's solution is out of the flesh. And so again, the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman, Sarah, was born through promise. Born through promise. And this was an unusual. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. Imagine Sarai saying, I've got to have an heir, and if I'm not going to have it this way, I've got to come up with some solution because this is embarrassing. This is dishonoring, disgraceful. Boy, it is amazing the trap we can fall into. Not so unlike Sarai, Abram, or even Hagar. And so we see this rivalry began when this solution, so-called solution by Sarah, takes root in this particular passage. And again, in 1 Samuel 1, 6 to 8, and her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? So this is a serious thing. But again, giving into the temptation to take spiritual matters into your own hands is a sin against God. But not only that, it is a sin against others. It causes great destruction. It is a sin against the household of faith. It is a sin to the community. And this particular sin had longstanding consequences that could not be undone because God is holy and just and righteous. And even though he would restore them, even though God would be merciful, yes, Sarai came up with a horrible solution, yet God was merciful. Yet God, brothers and sisters, is merciful. Glory be to God. And maybe today you need to experience that mercy because you are feeling the weight of the conviction of something, of decisions you've made, decisions you might be making. And it's good that you are here hearing the word of God, the word of the Lord, to help you in these things. We go on with our text. Verse 4, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. So now Hagar had this over Sarai, and it began to brew this contentious relationship. And then now Sarai is upset, and she says to her husband, even though it was her idea, she says, may the wrong done to me be on you. And you might say, well, Sarah, you came up with this, but she's not altogether wrong. Abram should have manned up and never allowed that to happen. And so he He bears responsibility. Just like Adam bears responsibility for what happened in the garden, because he abdicated his role as a husband, as a man of God. And so now she says, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Again, he's in his sin. It's all going bad right now. Abram is not even coming back and realizing and snapping back to what's going on. And at this moment, he could have said, "Wait, stop, no, this is wrong." He again puts it back on Sarai and doesn't lead by faith. And he says, "Do what you want. She's your servant." And so Sarai had Hagar pregnant, removed, and Hagar fled under the pressure. It is a sad tale, but we see now that the narrative changes, and it gives us a little bit of the interaction. Now we see what's happening in Hagar's life at this point. What's her response in all of this? Well, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?' She said, 'I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai.' The angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her.'" This is God's grace. And so here we have a theophany or a Christophany. As some would say, this is the pre-incarnate Christ. Some would say this is just a manifestation of God in an angel. Whatever the case, this is God speaking, and she receives it as God speaking to her, and she even calls him, says, "You are the God who sees me and has seen my affliction." And she names the place, "The God who sees me in my distress." It is quite remarkable. But the call here from God in this way is return. Go back and submit. And she does, remarkably. Showing that God can extend mercy to whom he desires. And even though Hagar would not and Ishmael would not be a part of the chosen line, we see God's mercy, even common grace extended on those that are not a part of the family of God. Very, very compelling thing. So the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has listened to your affliction." Ishmael means God sees. God hears. "He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him." Wow, right here in Genesis chapter 16, we see what has been remarkable. Something that God is saying. First of all, he's telling Hagar, "You're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Ishmael." And he's telling her why. And then he's saying the type of man he's going to be, the contentious nature, the wild nature. He's not going to be able to get along even with his own relatives. And that line would go on to be what we now see in our own world today. This fighting in these Middle Eastern nations and all these kinds of... It's remarkable to see the long-standing consequences of what occurred right here in this narrative we're reading in Genesis chapter 16. Quite remarkable. So again, our second point. Giving in to the temptation to listen to the wrong voice leads you away from God. And when you are led away from God, bad things happen. Nothing good comes out of listening to the wrong voice. Nothing good happens when we listen to the wrong voice. So this is why we must heed what the angel of the Lord is even saying to Hagar. And it leads us to our third point. We must repent. Repent and return to the place where we are called and be restored to a right relationship with God. Repent and returned to the place where we are called and have a restoration and a right relationship restored with God. So, so critically important. And then the angel of the Lord in verse 10 said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. She calls this name, you are a God of seeing. For she said, truly, here I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. This is real time, real history. It happened. Glory be to God. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Wow, what a narrative. Boy, that we could learn this lesson. I can only imagine what Abram and Sarai, if they prayed and thought about this, said, man, I wish we could have done it so differently. We really sinned. We really messed up. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. But things are not quite the same. And yet God is merciful. And yet God would be with them. And God would send that promised son to them, Isaac. And we're going to see that. And it would prove that they cannot renege on their commitment and their faith to God's promises. It taught them a huge lesson that they can trust God's promises, that God's promises will come to pass no matter what, because he is 100% faithful and true and right. And something that classic commentator Matthew Henry said that I thought was compelling as we prepare to wrap up. This was done talking about Sarai's activity here in this particular, not only Sarai, but Abram and even Hagar. This was done without asking counsel of the Lord. Unbelief worked. God's almighty power was forgotten. It was a bad example and a source of manifold uneasiness. Wow. And then he also said, it is a great mercy. And that's what I want to take. It is a great mercy to be stopped in a sinful way, either by conscience or by providence. Brothers and sisters, it is a great mercy when God stops us, when God really arrests us by conscience or by providence from doing further harm. Thank God that even in our sin, even in the sins that we have committed, God has been gracious to forgive us. And even though many of us are suffering and will suffer the consequences of those sins for years to come, maybe for the rest of our lives, it doesn't negate God's mercy and grace over our lives now. To God be the glory. Would you be willing today to acknowledge that you would do well to ask God to help you not take matters into your own hands? Don't do something and go around God. Trust God. You know you can. I know that I can. Brothers, sisters, we can trust him. And that we must. So let us learn. Let us heed. Let us not give in to the temptation. Let us not give in to the temptation to take spiritual matters into our own hands. It is a sin against God. And let us not give in to the temptation to listen to the wrong voice, no matter who it is, instead of God's voice and God's call. And lastly, repent. Today, that may be what you and I need to do. We must repent and return to the place where we are called and receive his mercy and his grace. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we have a hope that even when we have sinned against you, like Sarai did here, like Abram did, even like Hagar did, Father, that there's mercy because you love us. And although, Father, You cannot undo all of the ramifications because you are righteous and holy and perfect. You can restore us to a right relationship with you and teach us. And so, Father, help us, the faithless, to grow in faith so that we can learn from our sin and not repeat it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your amazing grace and unending love over us, your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.